Billy, I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but I feel like I know a lot of guys that went to Belen that are named Willie. Did you ever think of being Willie Gill?
No.
No? Like
No.
you never had that moment where you're like, I'm Willie.
No, I mean, it was given to me. Like, I didn't, it's not like I grew up and just, at one point decided to be Billy.
What about his claim that there are a lot of Willies at your school, your former school? Is that a true statement or is there any truth behind that?
The president or principal, I don't know the title's name, is Father Willie, so
Wow.
he's a Willie. I didn't have any Willies in my class. I had a Willie in my class that I think, well, no, that's not true. I had a couple Willies. So
See?
there's Willies.
Willies
And the
aplenty.
principal's name is Guillermo and goes by Willie, so.
And that's what I was saying. Like, I know all the, I don't know them personally. But I'm saying I know that the fathers at the school are mostly like Cuban.
Yeah,
So it's
there's a
like
lot of
a Guillermo
those.
has to be in there somewhere. And I feel like the
Yeah.
older generation called themselves Willie instead of Billy.
Yeah, Father Willie. He's the president of the school, and he's Guillermo.
My uncle used to refer to my dad as Willie.
What was your dad's name?
Wilfred.
Oh, there you go.
Bill is what they called him, though. Like,
Yeah, but only my uncle referred to him as Willie. Billy Gill, do you imagine you'll ever refer to yourself as Bill Gill? Will you drop the LY at some point or no?
I don't see myself dropping it. But no, I don't. I don't like Bill. Bill's too, I don't know, serious sounding. I don't like it.
So, Dad, the Heat played their first preseason game last night. And
Right.
I know a couple weeks ago you wrote some article about how the Heat are getting screwed because it's too short of an off season. So I'm just going to go ahead and predict that you are going to attribute last night's loss in a preseason game to some sort of fatigue or something.
Well, not so much fatigue as disinterest. First of all, Butler's not playing. I mean, they obviously didn't have their
And
full
Goran.
team.
Goran
What's
wasn't
that?
playing. Goran didn't play either.
Right. So they obviously weren't at full strength, but didn't want to be. I mean, it's a first exhibition game. Nobody wants to be playing.
Right.
The NBA finals ended a minute and a half ago. It's ridiculous what the NBA is doing. The corollary, of course, is the NHL, which isn't starting until mid-January. At least they're delaying it like an extra month, which is the proper way to go. The NBA should be starting in February with like a 48-game season or something. If I were world commissioner.
How's your voice doing today?
You're hearing it. It ain't good. In fact, I'm going to mute myself and cough right now.
While you do that, just think for a moment, what else would you do as world commissioner aside from just delaying the
Wow.
start of the NBA season? Like, what would you do? Commissioner, I'm assuming we're giving it just to sports. Like, so you're in charge of the world sports. What else would you do? What's on the docket for Greg Cody, world commissioner?
Wow. Man, that's I would have to look at that on a case by case basis. One thing I would do is I would winnow through the Olympic sports instead of adding. You all may have heard that beginning in 2024, breakdancing is actually going to become an Olympic sport. And so, instead of adding ridiculous non-sports,
The summer game?
I would winnow. I think so, yeah. I would winnow. So that would be one starting point, I think. What else would I do?
Has anyone on
Man.
the show ever broke dance before? Or at least given it a crack? Like, done the thing where you go on the floor for a second, put your arms down and go in a circle motion, like pretend like you're break dancing? No. Roy, you ever broke dance? Is it broke dance? Break dance.
It's break dance and no.
I like to say broke dance. Dad, have you ever broke danced?
Well, you're wrong.
So it's break danced. Have you ever break danced?
Feel like the only breakdancing move I could actually do is where you get on the small of your back and spin.
Oh, I got you. Like,
I think I could actually do an entire 360 degree
ooh, let's see it.
spin
Yeah,
on my back. I think I'm gonna need to see it right now. Like, put your camera towards the floor and lay down and do it right now.
I mean, will that work?
Yeah.
How will the
Leave
camera
yourself
pan?
unmuted. Don't you have like a laptop screen that you can like tilt down towards the floor a little bit? There you go. Now move your chair. Come on, let's do this. Take your time.
Good looking floor.
Yeah.
All right. So we see he's backing up now. Remember, this is an audio medium, so try to make as many noises as you can.
Greg's wearing some Nike shorts.
I don't even think he can hear us.
White yeah. check.
Yeah. He is making noises.
He's on the coughing. Floor, on his back.
Oh, he looks like...
Ooh, there he goes. He pushed himself.
That wasn't a full circle. Yeah, it was like a half. Like half a half.
It was like 270.
Oh, now he's going back the other way. So now we got back to 0 degrees, but we didn't go a full way around. We just went one way in the back.
That was like a 162 degree turn, not a 360.
Ooh. Both ways, though. So.
Yeah. So they still fall a little short. You're at 320.
Yeah, Greg, just... also a barefoot show doer.
Yeah, barefoot, blue basketball shorts, black shirt, mm-hmm. just... Now
you expect a tuxedo?
Good looking floor, though.
The floor does
I feel
look...
like you're wearing the same thing.
Oh, no. I'm literally wearing the same exact thing. I have a black shirt no, on that's... and navy basketball shorts on.
Mine, let's at least... see them. Let's...
My shorts are a little more subtle blue. They actually are blue, though. My dad's are at least bright blue. Those are bright blue.
Twins. Yeah. So, Greg, I feel like as world commissioner, though, you'd probably delegate because there's lots of responsibility, obviously, to being commissioner of just one sport. But if you're doing all of the sports, that seems like it'd be quite the job. So what would you kind of just pass off to, you know, I guess a deputy commissioner? What sports would you have no interest in being in charge of? Like, I feel like, not to disparage the crickets of the world, but I feel like you wouldn't have much time for the crickets of the world.
Cricket interests me as a sport. I wonder why cricket is dominated by, you know, I think of the West Indies when I think of cricket, and I know it's big in England and such, but as a latent jingoist, I always wonder why the U.S. has never become a real player in the sport of cricket. So I think I would designate, you know, a cricket growth committee. And
like the way lacrosse has grown in the last like 10 years or 15 years in this country, you want that to be cricket in the next 15 years?
Right. And lacrosse too has become a legitimate sport. I would try to grow the National Lacrosse League. I would be big on growing second tier leagues, like the Women's Professional Soccer League would have my full support as world commissioner.
What sport would you want to shrink? If we can't grow all these sports, if you're growing a bunch of sports, you got to shrink some sports.
No, not necessarily.
Wow.
It's a limitless palette.
Yeah. When you grow a tree, you don't shrink another one. Right, Greg?
That's true.
Right, Billy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the assumption on the growth of cricket not being all that high has to be here in this country has to be because of baseball. Right.
Right. But
it's true. It's similar to baseball.
I mean, when you watch the two sports, though, is it really similar?
I mean, somebody pitches it and someone hits it. The only difference is the ball bounces first.
I mean, they use the entire field and like the right. entire
that's
circle.
That's field. A ridiculous rule in cricket. when I think of cricket, I think of being on a cruise and it's a sea day and I'm the only one on the boat and all the crew members are hanging out in like the sports lounge watching some cricket game and they're really into it.
The other thing I would do to grow the sport of cricket in the United States is revamp the entire terminology, because cricket has a language that is indecipherable to most people.
Most Americans, it's like people that understand the sport, get it. I think.
Yeah, as world commissioner, it seems like all of your things are very centric to Americans right now. You'd grow American women's soccer leagues. You'd grow second tier sports in America to be first tiers when they're like larger sports around the world. You change the terminology because Americans don't know cricket terminology.
Oh, Greg Cody.
Right.
These are seeds, though. These seeds have to grow. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you. And by the way, I would also grow the Women's English Premier League. In other words, in my world, women's soccer would be as big as men's soccer.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. I mean, that's
a little
just,
myopic, but yes.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
I mean, myopic.
American myopic.
I'm looking at the whole world, baby. And I got a world view.
Top of the mountain.
That's right.
Mount Everest. You're on Mount Everest right now, just looking out into all lands and all sports.
Right. And there's nothing that is not in my purvey. I do have to decide, you know how the incoming president always says, you know, in my first 90 days in office, well, in my first 90 days as world commissioner, I am going to finally have to make a decision on whether I kill or allow the Iditarod sled dog race.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Yeah, that's big.
Why that particular race?
That noise you heard was him unscrewing his coffee, just proud of himself after right. that.
Here, let's.
That's also a question from McGill today for you.
Yeah, reflecting.
Well, yeah, that is a good question because some people are okay with it.
Dad, are you drinking coffee or your throat coat tea?
Mm. I can't lie, it's coffee.
All right.
But it should be throat coat. You're right. I'll throw a couple of bags in here later.
Greg, how do you see Tua? A lot of discussion yesterday about Tua. A lot of negative Nellies in this group about Tua yesterday. Is Tua not for real? Is Tua the next Tannehill? I said, it's just been six games. Give the kid a break. Let him grow. But no one else was on that page. Greg, how do you see Tua so far in his Dolphins career?
I have nothing but favorable opinions of Tua right now. I don't know what people expect. He has 9 touchdowns against 1 interception, which was off a tip ball. He just passed for 296 yards and then 316 yards to set back-to-back career highs. He's become smarter and smarter. The one thing he is doing...
He's become smarter and smarter. I mean, I feel like that's a little subjective.
With his decision-making, obviously, he's still doing what rookies do, which he's taking too many sacks, and the other day he took a safety. And he's being a little too cautious in throwing the ball away when he doesn't see a first or second receiver. But those are things he's going to learn and grow. Well, and I think he's been great so far. I really do.
It's tough to criticize him for throwing the ball away when the pressure comes and taking sacks. Like, you have to do one of those two when the pressure breaks down. Right. Are you not alarmed a little bit? Because I'm with you guys. I don't want to be perceived as the person that's like out on Tua. I'm just very emotional with this. So I'm going back and forth with like every play. I'm not seeing him throw out like. I'm not seeing these deep out throws where you see like the arm strength. The arm strength, I think, is the one thing that I would be like, I haven't seen a ton of.
I've seen enough arm strength. The accuracy needs to be better. I think his completion percentage is in the 64 range, which is lowish on the NFL scale. I think he needs to be better at that. But the other thing to consider with Tua is he has no supporting cast. He has the worst running game support in the league. He has a very average offensive line, and his receiving core is decimated with injury, particularly the other day. He ends the game with no Devontae Parker, no Jakeem Grant, no Mike Gesicki. Preston Williams is already lost. He needs more than he has in terms of receiving help, healthy or injured. And when everybody's injured, he's just got no weapons. I mean, you contrast that with Mahomes having Travis Kelce, you know, and obviously Tyreek Hill, and there's just no comparison.
Mecole Hardman is like their number 4 receiver, and he would be a stud for the Dolphins, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So Tua needs help, plainly. You know, the defense is really playing well, I thought, including in Sunday's game, with 4 takeaways, but they need to spend the draft emphasis on, you know, another big offensive lineman, a running back, a breakaway receiver. And Tua needs – the one thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick has a big advantage on over Tua is that his chemistry with Devontae Parker was much better. And that's a part of why we're not seeing deep ball success from Tua, is that injuries and the fact that he doesn't have that chemistry yet with Devontae, his best receiver.
Well, yeah, it's kind of amazing that it's not been worse, considering that the Dolphins have started 3 rookies on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So the offensive line's pretty much been above average in my opinion.
Yeah.
how far in the hole that is for the team.
It's going to be really exciting to watch this upcoming draft with all the Houston picks and just the need that the Dolphins have. Like, are we going to see one of these drafts where they draft like every single person offensive? Like every single person is on the offensive side of the ball.
I mean, it's got to be an offensive oriented draft, just like last year was defensive. It just has to be. I don't see any way around it. But the question is, do they acknowledge that they need a running back, or do they think a healthy Myles Gaskin?
Well, I don't think good enough. I don't think you need to. I think a better offensive line, and you can live with your running backs. I honestly think the injuries to the running backs has been a bigger issue than the quality of the running backs. I think Gaskin, if these guys are all healthy, they're serviceable. You don't need to spend a big draft pick on running backs. The like receivers, offensive line, like that's what I would focus on.
I agree. Go ahead, Tony.
Not to be the pessimist of the bunch, but obviously we know that Brian Flores is a mastermind defensive coach, as we've seen from his time in New England, as what we've seen with the Dolphins, where you can name like six guys on the team, defensive side of the ball, and they're playing at a all-pro level. Do we have faith that the offensive side of the ball, coaching-wise, is going to get and develop draft picks into legitimate starters in this league? Because we've seen the rinse and repeat of Dolphins coaches in the past get and draft really good players, them underperform, them go to other teams, and then all of a sudden become stars. Mm-hmm. Like, do we have an ounce of confidence that all of a sudden the Dolphins are going to go out and get all these great players in the draft and then them actually hit?
I just have my fingers crossed. I'm with you. That there's no real, like, we don't know that they're going to do it right, but we just like got to get this draft right.
Like, Greg, obviously we saw Tua be one of the best college quarterbacks we've ever seen with a completely stacked offensive side of the ball, offensive line, weapons on the backside, like just everything. Is he a guy that for him to achieve his ceiling, he's not going to be the Aaron Rodgers that can do it with anybody or the Tom Brady that can do it with anybody, but he's got to be the guy that almost an Alex Smith that has all the weapons around him. And then he has that season that he had in 2017 where he threw for 40 something touchdowns. Is that the ceiling for Tua?
No, not at all. I don't see Tua as a game manager. You know, when you evoke the name Alex Smith, and I think the Dolphin offensive coaching has been pretty good. I think Chan Gailey has actually, I'm surprised, because when they brought back Chan Gailey out of retirement, I'm like, wow, they're recycling an old guy. But I think he's been very inventive with the offense, working with what little he has to work with. And again, you picture Tua with more help. You picture him with a first-round draft pick at tackle. You picture him with a quality running game. You picture him with a healthy receiving core and maybe one additional receiver. And then I think you begin to see who he really can be. But I don't see this guy, Tua, as a game manager. I see him as a, you know, it's always going to be like Mahomes is up here. Is he going to be the next Mahomes? Well, probably nobody's going to be the next Mahomes. But I think Tua can be that dynamic quarterback who wins you games and dominates in the red zone and is a two-way star who can do more with his legs than we've seen so far. So I think he's got a great upside. Billy mentioned this. There's been a lot of criticism of him. I don't listen to too much of that. What has been the criticism of Tua?
Basically just Mike and Dan gushing over Herbert and being like, that's what this should look like. And
I think the criticism is he's small, right? Yeah. Like that's the biggest criticism, is he looks tiny on the field.
Yeah, and I just think the way, like, because I, you know, my dad says he's not going to be a game manager. I think you bring up a great point, Anthony, because I think we're in that. That's the panic that the Dolphins fans are having right now, is they're looking at him, and in this rookie season where he doesn't have a lot of help, they're saying, "Oh no, is he a guy that we need to like get so much talent around?" Or is, because I think a lot of Dolphin fans were just blindly hoping that this guy comes in and it's like boom, 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 holy crap, we have our quarterback. And I just think that's where we're at right now, where it's, we're praying that that question that you just brought up, Tony, the Dolphin fans don't really know the, like, my dad has his opinion, but I don't think we know the answer to that question yet. We're still figuring out, is he going to be a game changer, or is he a guy we need to just flood with talent?
You know, I don't want to be an excuse maker for Tua because I don't,
a mid-sentence mute to clear his throat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't want to be an excuse maker for Tua because I don't think he needs one. But I will say that more than most, he really missed not having a preseason because he's coming off that injury. And keep in mind, he didn't start for the first third of this season. So he's more of a raw rookie than most raw rookies, you know, between the injury, no preseason, not starting the year. You know, he still only started, what, six, seven games. So, you know, give him time, give him a healthy roster. I think he's going to be more than fine. I think he's going to be pretty great.
Can we play this game for a second? If the Dolphins drafted Joe Burrow, right? You take two out, you put Joe Burrow in. Does he look the same that he looked this year with the Dolphins? And I'll do the same with Herbert. Like, do they look the same that they do now with their separate teams with the Dolphins?
I mean, you mean Tua with Cincinnati? What do you mean?
No, Joe Burrow with the Dolphins.
Bring those players here.
Or Justin Herbert with the Dolphins. Do they look the same? Do they wow you the same way? Not on those teams. And obviously, we look at the Bengals. They have weapons aplenty across the wide receiver core. And then obviously, you know, LA has a dominant, probably one of the best route running receivers and a really good tight end. So do they look the same here?
Boring answer to your question. I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay.
Dad?
I know, you know, Justin Herbert is the it guy, you know, the probable offensive rookie of the year. And he is coming off a good game, and he's had two really good games in the past four games, but he's been inconsistent. Justin Herbert's not perfect. I don't think there's any evidence right now when you compare Burrow, Herbert, and Tua, and all three of them are going to be compared their whole career. I don't think there's any appreciable evidence that says, all right, this guy's the third of the three, and this guy's clearly the best of the three. You know, 90% of people would probably say, all right, Herbert is number one, and the other two guys, you really can't judge yet. It's an incomplete grade because one's injured, one started the season late. But me, if I were the Dolphins, I would be very comfortable with the idea that I drafted Tua, not Herbert, didn't have a chance at Burrow, and opted for Tua over Herbert. I wouldn't be second-guessing that right now. Would any of you guys?
Well, the thing is, you'd still have Chan Gailey, right? So if you're saying Chan Gailey is part of why Tua hasn't looked great so far, then what would he be doing with Herbert or with Burrow also, right? Because Chan Gailey would still be there.
Well, and the weapons are still the same.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think Tua's been fine. I do. I just don't see the criticism of Tua right now. Imagine the criticism. I mean, think about it. We're criticizing a quarterback who's got nine touchdowns and one interception off a tip ball, a quarterback who's got a winning record. I just don't know what people expect from
Tua. It's the eye test. It's watching the games and just there's just not many plays where you're like, that's the stud. That's the dude. He's our quarterback for the next 10 years. Like, that's it.
I'm thinking back to Sunday's game. And I can't remember the exact receiver, but he had at least one dropped long pass.
Yes, Jakeem Grant dropped two passes. One was deep, and one was a crazy, like, he threw him open, where the middle of the field was crowded with players, and Tua threw it to this one spot where Jakeem Grant ended up on the ground, and he dropped it. So, like, you see those, like, vision plays from Tua where he anticipates. But I don't know, man.
Isn't that what you're looking for, Chris?
Yes.
Exact thing is what you're looking for, right? The one play that signifies, okay, wow, like he just threw him open and a crowd of people, he just led him out to the open field.
You see that in the middle of the field. I'm waiting to see it more on the outside of the field to see the arm strength. But look, like I said, man, I'm the wrong person to talk about all this stuff with. I live and die with every play. Like one play, he throws a great pass and he's the future. And the next play, like I want him, I wish we took Herbert. So like
the interception he threw also hit his receiver and then bounced right to Honey Badger. And then that led to a touchdown, which was the difference in the game when you look at the final scoreboard. I mean, it wasn't, but it's a 6-point game. That was a 7-point swing that could have gone the other way.
Right. And when the Dolphins were celebrating the picks on Mahomes, two of those were tipped too. So this game is wacky that we play. So like,
well, that's the way this goes though, right? Like, so Mahomes, if he throws an interception, oh, it was tipped. It's not Mahomes' fault. fault because he's Patrick Mahomes. If he gets sacked running around in the backfield 30 yards, oh, you know, he's trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
Where if Tua does it, oh, he's a rookie. He doesn't know that he needs to throw it away. But if he throws it away, he shouldn't throw it away so soon. Mm-hmm. And then he throws an interception and it's a bad throw because he doesn't know where he's throwing it. But if Mahomes does it, oh, no, it was picked and he was trying to make something happen. So it's all basically who's doing what, because Mahomes didn't have a great game, right? Mm-hmm. But did he not have a great game because he had a bad game, or did he not have a great game because the defense had a good game, or the interceptions because the defense is good, or was Mahomes bad? It's all depending on what story you want to tell.
Looks like we need a pie chart, guys. A little pie chart of blame.
I don't think Mahomes is ever bad, right? Like, that's the funny thing that we've all
that's the narrative. Upon. That's what Billy's point
Mahomes
is.
Mahomes is never bad. Right. It doesn't matter.
It's always if it's a bad game, it's someone else's. It's not Mahomes being bad. It's just –
right. He throws three interceptions and it's still not a bad game.
Right.
I'm interested in this pie chart of blame, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying
somebody draw it? Who has
for each, like, for each interception, I need a pie chart. Okay, that interception. Because one of the ones that we got in Mahomes, one of our players fell and then he like emerged up and it was like he was a ghoul, like emerging from the ground and like came out of nowhere. Like, oh man. So that pie chart would have been all over the place.
A ghoul.
A ghoul. Like, I'm telling you, Van Ginkle, he fell down. So, like, Travis Kelce was wide open, and then he did this athletic, like, sprung up, like, did a push-up and, like, pushed himself up, and that's what tipped that first interception pass because he was just – Kelce was wide open, and Van Ginkle emerged from the ground like a ghoul. That's right, Roy.
Is that the most ghoulish name is Van Ginkle?
Sounds like a guy who would be fighting ghouls, actually.
It does.
Really?
It does.
I do see an old-timey ghoul named Van Ginkle.
Yeah.
What's I have to guys- be honest with you. Yeah. I didn't know the difference between a ghost and a ghoul, and I just looked it up. Do you guys know the difference or no?
What is it?
A ghost doesn't have a body. A ghoul does.
So is a ghoul a zombie?
No, I think it's just like a ghost-looking figure with a body, right? Like a ghost-type body where, well, no, I don't know. Because like Casper, for example, I know I've brought up Casper a lot lately for some reason, but Casper has the upper half of his body but no legs. So is Casper, well, he was a friendly ghost. Mm-hmm. So I guess if it's not,
Who's the Do we have any friendly ghouls?
Who's the second most famous ghost?
T.Y. Hilton?
Galloping Ghost. I don't think those are actually ghosts.
The wrestlers?
Aren't they? I thought they were horseback ghosts on horseback.
Yeah, was the headless horseman like a what was that?
He's a ghost.
That seems like a ghoul to me.
Oh, he may be a ghoul.
But he doesn't have a head.
But he has
a body.
But not a head.
But not a head. He's a headless body.
Headless ghoul.
But he does hold like the pumpkin, right? Is the pumpkin his head?
I don't think in real life. He can throw the pumpkin. That pumpkin is on fire.
Yeah.
Did Ric Flair have a wrestling group called the Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Arn Anderson, Ollie Anderson.
I think one of those guys just passed away.
Somebody else.
It was Pat Patterson. I don't think he was in the Four Horsemen.
No, really? No. Pat Patterson was in
most of them. WWF guy.
Yeah, him and Joe Briscoe.
Now I'm just typing in Four Horsemen. I think he was. I think I was right about this, guys.
Different groups of the Four Horsemen.
Oh. But I think Pat Patterson might be in the original.
In the original? I don't know.
Guys, so I have the difference between ghouls and zombies. Even though they may seem the same, ghouls are monsters summoned using black magic or through some other demonic means. Zombies are mindless. Ghouls are not. Zombies feast on human flesh and brains, while ghouls eat any flesh. Zombies are created through voodoo magic. Ghouls are summoned through black magic.
So the original group consisted of Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. So I guess
it's Ollie Anderson.
Ollie Anderson. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, Tully Blanchard. Yeah, that's the other guy.
Do you guys plan on doing like what's your guys' strategy on during this time of year? Do you guys ever go around look at Christmas lights, like getting hop in the old car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since we've had a baby, that's the thing we kind of do every year now.
Do you like what? Where's your strategy for finding the good houses? Like in the newspaper? Like, is there an article you recommend where they give the good houses?
Or? It used to have like little news, local news station would tell you like, hey, here are the big houses this year. Mm-hmm. But some of the houses would have like people congregating outside and they'd be playing music and you'd go and it'd almost be like a little mini like theme park or like a little Santa's Enchanted Forest type thing in someone's front yard. But I don't think they're encouraging that this year. So I don't know if they're putting out where the big light displays are.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested. That's what I was kind of looking for. That newspaper article where it's like top five houses. And, you know, I like, I'm a sucker for Christmas, guys.
Are you a light guy? What is your light situation like?
It's the only holiday that I really want to really I like to get in charge and decorate. I have an interesting setup. The front of my house this year has no lights on the top because I have a two-story house and that was just a little overwhelming and scary for me. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to I need a different ladder if I'm going to feel safe going up that high. Mm-hmm. And so, but my back, I can like put up the lights from my roof and it's lower in the back. So the back of my house actually has lights up because from this road, I get more eyes on the back of my house than the front of my house. So I decided to decorate the back of my house. So that's it. My lights are on the back. I mean, I guarantee you there has to be very few people listening to us that have only lights on the back of their house and not the front of their house.
It looks good, by the way.
Thank you, Dad.
It's
a very loving thing you just did there. I was feeling vulnerable about my back house lights.
Why didn't you just get a bigger ladder?
Because I don't have it yet. And dude, I'm telling you, I need like a 30-foot ladder. Like this. Roy, like,
can you rent ladder?
Secret Santa present for Chris ladder.
Ooh. I don't think you can. I investigated that.
Rent a lift. You could rent a lift also.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a cherry picker or something. Yeah. Right.
Wow, I should rent that. That would feel safe. I feel safe.
That's really expensive.
I mean, you know how expensive ladders are, man. Like $200.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's why I didn't get one.
Get it and then return it.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Think this is Ross?
You could text Marshalls.
Wait, does that happen at Ross and Marshalls?
Oh yes, it does.
I mean, really? It happens a lot of places. Hmm. It happened with my Patrick Mahomes jersey a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I never returned anything.
Wow.
The other day I bought a bag of chestnuts to roast them. And I go through the process.
On an open fire.
Well, it wasn't an open fire, but I did roast chestnuts. But then you get to the point where you're peeling the shell, which is now softened. And lo and behold, most of the chestnuts are moldy.
Oh no.
Yeah. Now there were
moldy
some
chestnuts on an open fire.
Right. Now I could have taken that bag. Actually, I could have taken one moldy chestnut to Publix and gotten my money back because they're really good about refunds. But I
know they are. I've seen people in that customer service line returning like oranges.
Ooh, you should return a lottery ticket. See if you could do that, Greg. Tell them like this didn't like it's only been a couple days and it's not unsatisfactory for me.
That is a good idea. I'm not a lottery ticket buyer, but if I ever buy a lottery ticket and don't win, I'll definitely try that.
Really? I could see you as a guy that likes the occasional scratch off.
No, I think my wife will buy, you know, she's a lottery snob, which means it has to be like over 100 million before it gets her attention. You know what I mean? But I don't. I think it's a sucker's bet, to be honest with you.
Well, it
is. I know everybody says somebody's going to win, but it ain't going to be me, I'll tell you that.
Back to the chestnuts. You think they sold you a bag that they had from last year or the year before because nobody buys those type of things?
You may be right. I will say they passed the eye test. You know, I mean, chestnuts are, they're hard, dark shells, and you feel them. And they're supposed to be hard, not soft. Mm-hmm. So they looked fine. I admit I did not check for a use-by date. So maybe the use-by date was 2017. I have no idea. But at any rate, I'm not a returner. I just don't. I could be given a pair of shoes that are size 8. And I just did sit in my closet all year. I wouldn't return them.
What's the recipe that you would use for roasting chestnuts?
In this case, I put them in a sheet pan, with a little bit of layer of water, and I put them in a 450 degree oven for 10 minutes, which essentially, softens them. The shell begins to open. You take them out of the oven, you let them cool so you don't burn yourself. Once they cool, you peel the shells. And then theoretically, if they're good chestnuts that are not moldy, you can leave them whole. You know, they sort of split like walnuts in half or in thirds. And you can chop them, you can leave them whole. But then I saute them in a pan with some olive oil and butter. And that's an interesting combination because the sauteing process tends to crisp them a little bit, but the liquid there tends to soften them a little bit. They're a chewy nut. They're sort of in the cashew, you know, Roy. They're in the cashew.
Yeah, you do, Roy.
They're in the cashew family in terms of mouthfeel. But I love them. And the ones that I could get out of this bag, I sauteed them and I threw them in with some Brussels sprouts and chopped bacon.
How many nuts did you get out?
I would say the bag probably held 30 chestnuts, and I probably was able to use five or six of them.
Impressive.
I don't think I've ever had a chestnut.
Wow. Me neither.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask you, why do you roast a chestnut? But it seems like a chestnut is kind of like a softer nut, so you roast it, I guess, to make it hard, and I guess that adds some taste to it.
It's a flavorful nut. honestly, mm-hmm. I just did it because it's you associate the nut with Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a traditionalist, so
don't we all?
You know, I wanted to have chestnuts, and it was good. You know, if it weren't for all that mold, it would have been a real success.
I have a product that I regularly get, and I don't want to name the company because I don't want to burn any bridges with any companies, but it's a product, a candy that it's basically hit or miss, right? So you can look at the back date on it, and even the back date saying it'll be fresh by a certain date does not guarantee it for whatever reason. And so, you know, let's say it's like a chocolatey peanut butter cup type candy, right? Without mentioning any names. And often this candy will have like this, I don't even know what it is to describe it, but it'll have like a discoloration at the top where it's kind of like a whitish type thing. And it's not like mold. I think that what it is it between going in and out of the cold and heat, it kind of changes it. And it has like this just layer sometimes of like little, I don't even know how to describe it. And once it has that, the taste is totally different. It loses some of the creaminess on the inside. And I know right away when I open this candy, if I see it on the top, sometimes I just throw it out because I'm like, this is not going to be a good batch. But I wouldn't go return it, mainly because how much time am I going to spend driving over to the grocery store, returning something that costs maybe $1, like 85 cents it was on sale. I'm going to spend more than that on gas.
Yeah.
And I often just, you know, have to eat it and accept my losses, but I have no way. And I'm gaining less and less faith in the fact that this product is going to be good without mentioning any names.
Could it be natural fat from, you know, the chocolate that risen to the top?
And I have no idea. I don't know what it is, but the chocolate, once you see that at the top, feels like a little dried out and it loses some of the... I've oftentimes now moved away from getting it, and it was my favorite candy, but it's just so inconsistent that I've moved away, and sometimes I'll just go and get another candy, a Snickers, let's say.
Name that candy.
I won't. I won't tell you what it's called.
Okay.
I assume it's from the same company that made the other candy that you just mentioned.
I don't know the company that makes it, honestly. I'll just tell you that it's a chocolatey candy that some might describe as a peanut butter cup. That's all.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Rhymes with sneezes. Dad, I need you to promote Greg Cody's show on the way out of here.
Oh, wow. The Greg Cody Show. We cheated on Ron McGill this week. We had in an animal expert who was not Ron McGill. It's a woman, a British woman, actually, who's an animal psychologist. And she talks to us about raising happy dogs and cats. And I try to argue with her why my dog, when my dog is the dumbest a dog can ever be. And she yelled at me for referring to dogs as dumb. Mm-hmm. And it was a fun conversation. What would you say, Christopher? You were there.
No, she's delightful. I did feel a little dirty because of the whole Ron McGill angle.
You should. But, yeah.
How dare you?
But it was different. You know, Ron's a zoology guy.
Yeah, Ron's not a doctor if you ask him. And this right. sounds like you spoke to a doctor. So it's exactly. different things.
She was more like, you know, she trains animals that are fearful animals and stuff. So we talked to her. It was cool. It was an interesting conversation. Check all it right. out. Check it out. See you later.
Where did you find this person?
I think I just Googled like animal psychologists, doctor? And then I just got a bunch of Instagrams.
And does she deal with like dogs with anxiety and stuff like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
That's like honestly her specialty.
My dog's very anxious and I wonder what can be done about that. Dude. It's very like, it's feels kind of like abandonment issues if we leave him alone for a little bit.
This lady would be so happy to take your email if you sent her an email.
Well, I should have gotten on the Greg Cody show.
Well, you should have
for free. Now I'm gonna have to pay her for this. You know, just feel like I do with my dog.
I feel like she addresses that in the podcast. She talks about you know, anxiety-ridden dogs and
whatnot. Billy, what my dad is saying is all your answers can check all your questions podcast. Can be answered if you just check out the Greg Cody show.
I think I might do that.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Okay, goodbye.